Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Govardhana Puja Mahotsav Ki. Shri Giridhari Lala Ki. Jai. Usually following Srila Prabhupada's example, we sing before the class Jai Radha Madhava. You all know this song, short and sweet. Srila Prabhupada said that this song gives a complete picture of Vrindavan. And of course in that song we sing also Giri Bharadhari, one of the names of Krishna. You know the name Giridhari very well. And Giri Varadhari means the same thing, but Vara means the best. So he's the lifter of the best of the hills. Hare Krishna, now everything became anukul. Our bhakti should be anukul, anukul yasya sankalpa. Translation. You want to do it line by line? Then I need 2 hours instead of 1 hour.
Kalada can sit outside, he can talk, listen and talk.
Okay. So this kirtan which we just sung, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, that's also a picture of Vrindavan. What I'm saying, Vrindavan here means all Raja Mandala, right up to the edge, because the Yajna Patnis, Dvija Patni, they're described in this song also. So they're just at the edge of Vrindavan, geographically. Spiritual geography. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to speak about Paramarthik Bhugol, spiritual geography. So this song gives a description of so many facets of Vrindavan life, including Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, and Giri Govardhan. Shama Kunda and Radha Kunda are, of course, intimately linked. They're just very close, just like the eyes of Govardhan. So before I start to discuss more about this, first of all, I would like to read some verses about Krishna's pastimes of lifting the Govardhan Hill. I recently read through Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. Have you read that? Anyone read that? Padyavali. It's a compilation of verses by Srila Rupa Goswami, including some of his own verses, and including verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says at the end that there are many famous poets, but I've included in this compilation some of the verses of less famous poets. So I just read it again after many years. And within that are some verses about Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, and I'll read those verses before discussing more. The first one is by a devotee called Sri Sonok. I don't think you heard of him, and probably his name is only preserved in this Padyavali. There are so many great devotees come in this world and leave this world. We may not even know much about them.
Is that like a perversion of Shonaka?
No. So it's It might be a Hindi upper branch of Shonaka. So here it is. We can understand he's a great devotee by his poetry. What's he meditating on? Satra sarti yashodaya priyaguna prite kshanam radhaya nagnair ballava sunubhi sarabhasang sambhavitat morajitaihi bhita nandita vismitena vishamang nandena cha lokitaha payadva karapatma sustita mahashaila salilo harihi. Did you recognize any of the words there? Pick up on any of the words? Yashodaya. Yeah, you can recognize what that means. Radhaya. That's about Radha, isn't it? Yeah. What about Mahashaila? Big hill. Big hill. Mahashaila. Karapadma. What does that mean? Lotus hand, yeah. Actually, it's all very Satrasarti. Trasa means? Anyone know? It means fear, yeah. Actually, if you read Srila Prabhupada's preface to his Srimad Bhagavatam, he recommends reading the verses. And the word for word meanings everything. So if you read all this, then you'll get to know what all these words mean. Otherwise, you won't. I think trasa, that's not used in modern Indian languages. Is it used in Kannada? No.
Marathi.
In Marathi, it's used. In Hindi. Yeah, but all this, not very commonly, though. Isn't it? In modern Hindi, if you say fear, you won't even use any Sanskrit word. You'll say dorte, ne? Dor lagte. So tras arti. Arti. What does arti mean? Offering arti? No. Arti here means, just like in Bhagavad Gita, arto jignyasu, arta. So arti means distress. Yashodaya. By Yashoda. Priya, Guna, Prita. Prita, you know, means pleasure, love. Ikshanam. You know that? It means looking, glancing. So like this, there are so many words. Nagnair means naked. So anyway, I'll read the translation. So it's describing Krishna. Salilo Harihi. The whole subject of the verse comes in the last word, so you're left guessing until the last word. It's all about Krishna. And in the English translation, the word Krishna comes first. So Krishna, he playfully lifted. For him, it's play, lifting over downhill. You may see the weightlifters. Not me. I'm just pretending. Then they drop it. But that doesn't even weigh, the biggest weight, the world champion weightlifter, is not even as much as one rock on Govardhan Hill. And Krishna lifts it up playfully and keeps it on the little finger of his left hand. And he's smiling. So for it, it's all play for him, his leela. It's all his leela. So he playfully lifts Govardhan Hill with his lotus hand. When we talk about Krishna, if we talk about his feet, we don't usually say his feet. We usually say Charan Kamala, something like that. There are so many words. charan, pada, and then for lotus, so many words. So we have so many words. Pada padma, like this. So we always say, his lotus feet. With his lotus hand, he lifted Govardhan Hill. And Mother Yashoda, satra sarthi, with fear and distress, because she's afraid. Oh, if he can't hold it, then he'll, if he can't hold it, he'll get crushed and distressed. So his hand must be so painful. He's holding it for 7 days, and she can't even feed him. So she, but Radha, she sees him. She's very happy because she's got 7 days to look at Krishna, and she's not even allowed to look at him even once the rest of the time. She has a good excuse so she can look at Krishna. So she's very happy to see the transcendental qualities of Krishna. One of his transcendental qualities is that he's lifting Govardhan Hill. How old was Krishna? 7 years old. So, 7 year old boys, when they run around in the village in traditional India, which not now, but I used to see 30 years ago, what kind of clothing do they wear? Nothing. Anyone saw? Any older people?
Even in Canada.
In the villages?
Even when I was growing up in Canada, little boys until 5, 6 years old, in the summertime they'd be naked.
They're naked, and the girls also. They just run around naked. They only had this Kati Sutra, this little thing around their waist, which they don't wear nowadays either. They
sometimes
wear some.
Sometimes you see.
They wear some Mickey Mouse T-shirt or something like that. So it's described here the young boys who are the Balava Sunubi, means the sons of the cowherd men. They are nagnaya. They are naked, and they're watching Krishna and saying, "Yeah, I could do that too. After all, we fight together. Sometimes I defeat Krishna, so I could do that also." They think like that. And yeah, everyone's very happy. And Nanda Maharaj, he's looking with a strange mixture of emotions. He's feeling bhita. That's another word for fear. Fear, happiness, and amazement all at once. It's an unusual combination. Why? Because Krishna is lifting the hill, and the prayer is, may that Krishna protect you all, just as he's protecting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Here's another verse by Sri Saran. Eke naiva chiraya Krishna bhavata govardhano yang dhritaha shrantusi kshanam asvasam pratam ami sarve vayang dadmahe ityulasita doshni gopa nivahe kinchid bhujang kunchana nyan chach chaila. Chaila, hear that again, that's Shaila Hill. Nyanchaj Chaila Bharadite Viruvati Smero Hari Patu Vaha. Oh Krishna, for a long time you held up Govardhan Hill without any help. You must be very tired now. Please sit down and rest. All of us will hold the hill in your place. That's the cowherd men. They're thinking, Krishna held the hill a long time, so let him take a little rest and we'll hold it. He's a little boy, he's holding it, so We're big, strong cowherd men. Cowherd men are big, strong men, right? You've got to handle the bulls, even the cows, they're quite strong. So you've got to be quite strong to be a cowherd man. So they thought, Krishna, poor Krishna, is holding the hill. We'll hold it. If your little boy can hold it, we can hold it. So Krishna, he just transferred, he just let them take a little of the weight and they all collapsed. Screaming with their arms feeling crushed because it's so heavy for them. So Krishna, he smiled. May that Krishna protect us all. Here's a very similar verse by Subandhu, meditating on Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. Kinosi muncha shailang bibrimo vayam iti vadatsu shitila bhujaha bhara bhugna vitata bahushu gopeshu hasan harir jayati. Harir jayati. Hari ki jai. All glories to Krishna. You must be exhausted by now. Let go of the hill and we will hold it for you. When he shifted a little of the hill's weight and the arms of the cowherd men began to become crushed, Krishna began to smile. Here's a verse by Shubhankar. Durang dushti patad tirobhava hare govrad hanang bimbratas twaya sakta drisha krishodari karasrastosyam ma bhudayam gopinam iti jalpitang kalayato radha nirodha shrayam Shvasa shaila bhara shrama brahmakara brahmakara kangsa drisha pantu vaha. Gopis speaking to Radha. They're feeling a little bit afraid. They told her, you'd better get out of Krishna's eyesight. Don't let him see you. Because if he sees you, oh beautiful slender girl, he's holding up Govardhan Hill. If he sees you, he might start to tremble and then the Govardhan Hill will fall down. Or he'll just forget he's holding Govardhan Hill and then the Govardhan Hill will fall down. So Krishna heard this saying, oh, I got this opportunity to look at Radha and they want to take her away. And I can't even do anything about it. And then the hill began to slip from his hand. And his disappointment at the prospect of not being able to see Radha. So Shubhankar, this Vaishnava poet, says, may those sighs of Lord Krishna protect you all. So today we're celebrating that 5,000 years ago, a blue boy, aged 7 years, picked up a mountain and held it for 7 days. Is Richard Dawkins here? You heard of Richard Dawkins? He's a great proponent of atheism. He doesn't believe in Hindu mythology or Christian mythology or any kind of mythology. Here you are, you're all very educated people, very sophisticated people from the prestigious city of Bangalore, and you've all gathered today to celebrate that 5,000 years ago, a 7-year-old boy who happened to be blue, picked up a mountain and held it for 7 days. Jai Shri Giriraja Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Giridhari Lal Ki Jai. And no jais for Richard Dawkins. We don't know where he's an old man. I hope he gets some Charanamrita soon. He's in for a lot of trouble. Anyway, nowadays we're very advanced and sophisticated and we have modern technology. So just imagine that if nowadays it happened, because in one sense it's always happening because Krishna's pastimes are going on eternally, but We don't expect them to be manifested for another day of Brahma, almost. So it's better to go back to Godhead in this life. Otherwise you have to wait for another whole day of Brahma, and in the meantime you have to go through 900,000 forms in the water, and so on and so on and so on. So anyway, we can just imagine if this pastime was to happen nowadays, and the TV crews would come in and it would be flashed on the news, and the scientists would deny it, or they'd just pretend it wasn't happening, or they'd try to explain it, or they'd say the picture must be photoshopped, can't be real, must be a movie, just like going to the moon. Whoops, that was, they went to the moon, right? We saw it on TV. So you can make a movie of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, but that wouldn't come on the news. That would come on the Astar TV channel or something like that. But no, not on the news, right? It doesn't come on the news. But then nowadays, you don't know what is news, because we're told a lot of the news is fake news. So they might say that lifting, one boy lifted a hill, it's fake news, right? It's fake news. It can't be real, right? Can't be real. Must be someone trying to give us some fake news. Well, that's what the atheists say. And we accept that it's a fact. Now, why do all of you educated people accept something which is impossible? That a little boy can lift a mountain and hold it, for not only can, but did it. What is the evidence? It goes against the laws of physics and biology that anyone could be so strong. We don't know any living being, even an elephant, who could lift a hill like that. So what is the evidence? The evidence is Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Ba Parai Rishvara Sadhyo Hridya Varudyate Takriti Bhi Susrushi Bhish Takshamat. The evidence is Srimad Bhagavatam and so many other shastras also. We accept. This is the best evidence. You can't see God through a microscope or a telescope. We can see through the eyes of Shastra. That's all. This is real. Now, there's all this fuss about fake news, but actually the whole material world, it's all fake news. It's fake history. What's in history? It's all propaganda. Fake history, fake science. I was just told the other day that some time ago someone received the Nobel Prize for describing how matter is composed of atoms. Then after some years, someone else won a Nobel Prize for describing, scientifically, mind you, not fake news, scientifically, how everything that exists is waves. Then after some time, a few years more, someone else got a Nobel Prize for describing how all of matter is both waves and particles. And now they're stuck. They didn't get anything, they didn't get beyond that. So the science is changing all the time. We can just imagine if we were to come back, we don't want to come back, but just imagine if we were to come back in 2,000 years from now, and science has been going on in more or less the same confused way that it's going on now. Now, in 2,000 years' time, if they look back at science today, they'll say it's very primitive, isn't it? What we think now, very advanced science. See, this Stephen Hawking just died, and his last gift to the human society was a book in which he told us that God does not exist. Stephen Hawking said, and before the book could be published, God said, Stephen Hawking doesn't exist. Well, he exists somewhere. You know, he's a guest in Yamaraj's hotel.
Hotel Yamaraj.
But he'll have a different name. Different name and identity. He says that God... See, he can't be God because he's just in a wheelchair. So he decides that no one can be God. So our evidence is that we accept what is given in Shastra. Otherwise, fake science, you can't believe it. Fake education, useless education. They say you're educated if you go to school and sit in a school for years on end, and then they call you educated. But there's no education as to the purpose of life. There's no education, as Srila Prabhupada would often point out, there's no education as to what is the difference between a living body and a dead body. What is the difference? The difference is that in a what we call a living body, there is the spirit soul. Dead body means there's no spirit soul. This we should understand. The first thing that Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. Now we're celebrating Govardhan Puja. The celebration of Govardhan Puja comes in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. That's a long way from the first teachings of Bhagavad Gita. If we have to go through Gita first, 9 cantos of Bhagavatam, then come to 10th canto of Bhagavatam. But we have to start with understanding the difference between the soul and the body. What is the difference? What is the difference between a living body and a dead body? But the very first teaching is not given in any educational institution throughout the world. So it's fake education, fake civilization. They call it civilized. And practically their idea of what is civilized, whatever they think is more civilized, we think is more uncivilized. They think if you have a lot of sophisticated arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating and defending, that is highly civilized. But our understanding is that civilization means when you minimize eating, sleeping, mating and defending and maximize our understanding of who we are, who is Krishna. Only very civilized people, only very highly spiritually advanced people can celebrate Govardhan Puja. Everyone can celebrate, but only the most spiritually exalted people celebrate, because other people think that it's fake news. But the people who are spiritually advanced, they know that Krishna's pastimes, this is reality. And this material world, it's all fake. Because it's based on durasha, false hopes, hopes of being happy without Krishna. Hopes of being happy in this material world, forgetting Krishna. So it's a fake civilization, because they think civilization means you're very organized, all facilities and very high values. But what are their values? They're have slaughterhouses for killing animals. They're killing babies. How many babies have been killed in Bangalore today? Every day it's going on. Holocaust. Millions, billions of children are being killed even before they have the chance to protest. They're killed in the womb. So it's so-called, they think it's very civilized if you have free sex, isn't it? They're promoting that idea that there should be no restriction. Actually, civilization means there should be more restrictions. Animal means no restrictions. Civilization means more restrictions. But they think that's more civilized, or that we're very advanced, because young men and young women, they come together, no marriage, they have sex, and then when you become even more advanced, then you promote homosex. This is more and more civilized. So it's a really fake civilization, bogus civilization. So although we're celebrating Govardhan Puja, we cannot forget Srila Prabhupada's mission to reform this whole bogus civilization. I've been compiling a book called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, and I've collected in there for one section some of the adjectives that Srila Prabhupada used to use for the so-called modern civilization: animal civilization, cat and dog civilization, devilish civilization. He didn't have anything flattering to say about it. The whole of material existence is based on false aspirations, but when there's civilization, it directs us toward Krishna, directs us toward Vrindavan, or at least to Vaikuntha, or at least to God. Now, Diwali, what's Diwali all about? Diwali is about firecrackers, right? Isn't it? Yeah. Diwali is firecrackers, and then giving gifts and having new clothes. But originally it's supposed to be a religious celebration. And some people remember that, mostly not. It's like Christmas in the Western world is supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Actually, they don't know on which day he was born, but they had to have some day to celebrate it, so they made it December the 25th. I almost forgot, was it 25th or 26th? 25th, right? Yeah. So they made it that date. Supposed to celebrate that Jesus came in the world to save us from being Hindus. We have to bathe ourselves in the blood of Jesus and other highly sattvic religious practices. But anyway, now it's forgotten. Christmas is a time when you get drunk more than usual. And you give gifts, and what else do? Dress up in some clothes, fancy clothes, but Jesus is forgotten. So this modern civilization, forgetting Krishna, be very careful. Don't be taken in by the false or fake civilization. What about fake bhakti? That Srila Prabhupada also warned about that, right? All the acharyas, they have warned about that. Even beginning from Chaitanya Charitamrita, they've warned about that. Well, in one sense you could say we're all fake to the extent that we don't fully surrender to Krishna. But if we're on the path, if we're sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, then even though we may be neophytes, Srila Prabhupada said, can still be considered a pure devotee, because we're trying. And the example is given of a green mango. If you leave it on the tree, it should eventually ripen. So in the same way, if we remain on the right path, the path Sharanagati, of surrender to Krishna, then we should eventually come to the point of Krishna Prem. Atantar durlabha prema kadibare dan shikhai sharanagati bhakatera pran. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give very rare prem. And how did he give it? He gave it by teaching the process of sharanagati, which begins with anukulyena sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, to accept only those things, to vow to accept only those things which are favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness, and similarly to discard, to give up completely things which are inhibiting our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So it's very favorable for advancement in Krishna consciousness to celebrate Govardhan Puja, also known as Anukut Mahotsav, a hill of rice. Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter, must have been 1976, he wrote to Hansa Dutta, who was the GBC in England, telling how to celebrate. He said there should be heaps of prasadam. Kut means pile, big pile of, there should be anna, piles of prasadam. So it's very favorable into Krishna consciousness to celebrate this. Some yogis, they like to fast a lot for their spiritual advancement. But in Krishna consciousness, there are also fast days. But on Govardhan Puja day, after worshipping Govardhan, we should take prasadam. How many heaps? Well, we can't eat heaps. Bengalis, they eat heaps of rice. Eh? They have big piles of rice. Bengali village people. So that's very favorable to devotional service. But we should see also that we like to take prasad, that is very good, but just as much as it is favorable to our devotional service to take Krishna prasadam, it's also unfavorable to take anything else. So both things are there. We celebrate Govardhan Puja, we take Krishna prasadam to our full satisfaction, and especially on this day, if we take more than our full satisfaction, more than we need to maintain the body and soul together, that's okay on Govardhan Puja day. Even on any day, we can take prasad. Take it with full enthusiasm. Of course, we want to keep the body healthy for serving Krishna also. So we shouldn't make a habit of gorging ourselves to the point that we can't move. But just as it's important it's important in devotional service to take Krishna prasad, it's also important not to take anything which is not cooked by devotees with love, offered to Krishna, and then we take as prasad. So both things are there. We should accept everything that is stated in Shastra, not pick and choose. I like this, I don't like that. I like to hear about the gopis, but I don't like to hear about how women should be chaste and not modernized. So we can't pick and choose. We have to take Krishna as he is. That's why Krishna says, Mame kam sharanam raja. Surrender to me only. Not that we take a little what we like of Krishna, and we take other things we don't like. If we don't like, if there's anything about Krishna, including his instructions, that we don't like, that much we're an agent of Kamsa. That means we can't enter Vrindavan, maybe as a demon, and get killed by Krishna. But we don't want to see Krishna that way. We want to join the Jaya Jaya Vrindavana Vasi Jato Jan, isn't it? We want to be joining them, serving the Vrajavasis. So we have to, if we want to serve the Vrajavasis, we should know that on this day we're glorifying Krishna, celebrating Govardhan Puja, glorifying Giriraja Govardhan, but we're also glorifying all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They're also part of the Leela. It's not that just Krishna's standing there and they all said, oh, okay, 1 hour, 2 hours, getting a bit boring, okay, let's go and see what's on my cell phone. They didn't get bored being with Krishna. 7 days they were with Krishna. To them it seemed like a twinkling of a moment, because for them to be with Krishna is the perfection of their, it's all they live for. So we're celebrating the Vrajavasis' love for Krishna. Sometimes we hear people say, well, if we don't worship if we stop worshipping demigods, what will happen? Maybe they'll get angry at us. What's the answer to that? Then you remember the Vrajavasis. Yeah, maybe the demigods will get angry, just like Indra got angry when the Vrajavasis stopped worshipping him. He got very angry. And they had to suffer devastating rain and cold and winds. And look, his aim was to kill them all. But Krishna saved them. So we're celebrating also the Vrajavasis' pure love for Krishna. That even if Indra kills us, of course there's no question of that when Krishna's there, but even if we have to suffer, we're going to stick with Krishna. If we can live comfortably by worshipping Indra, we're not interested. If we have to suffer by worshipping Krishna, that's what we want to do. Mostly if we preach like this, people, they won't be interested. They think that just the opposite of what Bhagavatam says. Dharma, what is that? Dharma, what is that verse? Dharmasya nar, what is that verse? Dharmasya nartit, I can't remember it. What is it? Someone tell me. In the second chapter of the fifth. What is the first line? No.
It's a translation.
Anyway, the translation. I can just give the translation.
What's the translation?
Translation is that dharma should be engaged in for the sake of dharma. Dharma should be aikantic, single-pointed, not for personal gain, not for indulging in karma, mundane lust. One should live Oh, now I'm getting mixed up with another verse, which comes after that. In other words, religion is not meant for gain. What can I get out of it?
Not for artha or for kama.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for moksha leading to bhakti.
People think, I was a Hindu. Hmm? Dharma, that's it. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartok kalpate. Ah, that's it. That comes in.
He found it on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Religion is meant for nothing to do with this material world. Dharmasya hi apavargasya narto labhaya hi smitaha. No, I lost it. Nartaya dharma.
Where's this?
Anyway, you got me. So this should be this should be our motive. Narto taya upakalpate. Nartasya. Not for the sake of artha. Dharma is for apavarga, not for anything of this material world. Not for pa, or ma. Only for ka, for Krishna. Not for artha, in any way that it's conceived of. And then after that we have... Oh, doesn't I know how to use these things. Anyway, it's gone. So we shouldn't be a fake devotee. Now we may consider, and people may say, this is fake news. If we say that God is herding cows, they say that's fake news. Now we know God sits on a cloud and he has a long beard and an angry look on his face and he throws people into hell. That's what God does, right? I'm not a cowherd boy. Why should he be a cowherd boy? Fake news. Well, what will you say if someone says to you, how can you believe in a God that looks after cows? Well, to understand this, one has to go through the whole Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavatam, 9 cantos, then come to the 10th canto. So actually it's a difficult thing to explain to people who think that I'm just going to stop being a Hindu and be a Christian because they give you more money. Or it's a better religion. I get more material things. So it is difficult to explain. One has to be on the topmost level of spiritual understanding. But we read through 9 cantos, and what do we learn in 9 cantos? We learn many, many things. One of the things we learn when we come to the 10th canto is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? It's stated right in the very beginning, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Satyam Param Dhimahi Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. And then throughout the Bhagavatam, we find he's God. You don't think he's God? Well, that's what Hiranyakashipu thought. And he proved, I am God. That's what Ravana thought. And Rama proved, no, you're not God, I'm God. Bali Maharaj thought, I am the proprietor of the whole universe. And Vamadeva came and said, I'm the proprietor of the whole universe. So he already proved that he's God in multiple avatars. And in Vrindavan Leela, he's just enjoying himself, that's all. How can you know that he's God? Srila Prabhupada gave this example in the Nectar of Devotion, that one German scholar, he came to find out who's the real God in Hinduism? Who's the number one? He went to different temples and he saw Linga and Yoni in Shiva temple. What's that? That's Shiva and Shakti impregnating all the living beings. into the material world. Then he went to Chidambaram and saw Nataraj. He's dancing. Why is he dancing? He's dancing because he has to destroy the whole material world. Then he saw the depiction of Indra with his thunderbolt attacking the demons and all different demigods. Agni, he's overseeing fire. Yamaraj is overseeing hell. Then he came to the temple of Radha and Krishna. And what is Krishna doing? Playing a flute and dancing with Radha. This must be God. Because all the others are busy and he's just enjoying himself. He must be God. So there you go. So he doesn't have to prove that he's God. He didn't lift Govardhan Hill to prove that he's God. Everyone in Vrindavan, I'd just like you to know that I'm God. And here, I'm just going to prove it here. There's no such thing. So many demons came to Vrindavan. Krishna killed them. He didn't kill them to prove that he was God. He just killed them. Well, anyway, it's fun. Little boys, at least previously, nowadays little boys, you know, the way they're being brought up, they're being brought up as little boys or girls. They're not supposed to even think I'm a boy, because you might want to choose later to be a girl. But traditionally, boys, what did they do? What did you little boys do? Did you? My father made for me a wooden sword, two pieces of wood, and then I had a sword, right? And little boys in India still, they have a little bow and arrow, right? They become very powerful in their play. So Krishna, yeah, in their play they're fighting, right, with a sword and bows and arrows. And then someone becomes this side and that side. But Krishna, when he wants to play as a little boy, he has real demons. It's just his play, that's all. He doesn't, it's not just pretending to be killing demons. He actually kills demons. So that's his play. He's not doing it after killing Keshi demon. He didn't say, now that proves that I'm God. You better believe it. And the Vrajavasis just went on thinking, oh, it's Krishna. It's very interesting. So many demons attack and somehow Krishna gets saved every time. Yashoda thinks that, well, because I worshipped Narayana so nicely as a young girl, because of that, he's kindly saving my boy every time. Otherwise, you see, there was this big whirlwind, and then Krishna, I thought I'd lost him, but he came back, and Narayana. Narayana is saving my little boy. He's so kind to me. So he's not doing it to prove that he's God. And even if he tries to prove that he's God, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't give a damn whether he's God or not anyway. They just want to, see that picture? They just want to stop him stealing their butter, that's all. Okay, you're God, but look, could you stop stealing my butter? I've got to feed my own kids also. And these monkeys, they're already fat enough. So don't steal my butter. That's what they're concerned about. They're not all right, you're God. Okay, all right. Oh, yeah, okay, all right, Krishna, you're God. All right, now. But now you've got to go and look after the cows. So they may agree that he's God, but they don't. It's nothing for him. So this, he's just enjoying himself, that's all. It's just like the king. God is the big king, right? He's the king of kings. In the Bible it says he's the king of kings. So he's just like a king when he's in his, when he's outside in his palace, or everyone, Maharaj Ki Jai Ho, and everyone salute. And they're all very, everyone's very, formal, that's the right word. They're very formal with him. And even he has his friends, but they know he's the king. You don't get too friendly with him because getting close to a king is very dangerous. If you become too familiar, he might get fed up of being your friend and throw you in prison, or worse. So it's all very formal. But there is one place where the king can go, where he can just relax. And that is called the Antapura, which is called the, what's that called in Urdu? The Zenana. Is it? Something like that. The harem, harem. In English it's called harem. Antapura. He goes to the place where the queens live.
Gynaceum.
What's it called?
In Greek, Gynaceum.
Gynaceum is an English word derived from Greek.
Women's quarters.
Women's quarters. Then he can just relax. He doesn't have to be the king, because the queens aren't going to treat him like that. So Vrindavan is Krishna's harem. He's not God. And even he doesn't want to be treated like God. He's got to have somewhere where he can just be himself. Vrindavan is where Krishna is being himself without any formality. And of course, in the harem, the king, he's just being himself, but he becomes henpecked by the women. So Krishna also, in Vrindavan, even though he's the powerful God, he becomes under the control of women. So if you're under control of your wife, don't worry. God himself has the same problem. But for him, it's all bliss. And he wouldn't give it up for anything. It's all bliss. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's all bliss. So, in Vrindavan, is Krishna God? Maybe. Maybe. Is God good? Is Krishna good? Maybe. Nothing's sure. In Vaikuntha, everything's sure. Everyone's very happy. In the material world, we're always full of anxiety. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. Lakshmi Narayana there, he's in charge, there's no fear, everything's just nice, everything's very predictable. Vrindavan is very unpredictable, nothing's sure. Krishna's God? Maybe. Krishna's in charge, I think Radha's in charge, is it? Who's supreme? Krishna? In Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha, who's supreme? Narayana, obvious, isn't it? In Vrindavan, it's not obvious. Some people say it's Krishna, some people say it's Radha. Does God love us? In Vaikuntha, we're very sure he loves us. In Vrindavan, they're not sure. Can't be sure, he can go away. Does Krishna love Radha? Does she love him? Sometimes she says, get out of here. I don't want to see him ever again. When she's away from Krishna, every moment seems like 12 years or more, and she's just wondering when I can be with him. And then when she comes with him, then she has a fight with him, and she says, go away, I don't want to ever see you again. So in Vrindavan, nothing's sure. And that's the fun. It's all fun. It's unpredictable. It's always new. Every time, every morning, the cowherd boys go to see Krishna. And it's like they never saw him ever before. It's just, Krishna. So these are Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. It's beyond any logical understanding of God. Krishna jatek kela. Sarvotam, which among all Krishna's pastimes, which are the topmost? Is it Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha? Krishna jate kela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Sarvotam Naralila. Topmost are his Naralila. Seems to be a human being. Narabapu Taha Sharup. And his form that we think is like a human, actually, our form is like his. Man was made in the image of God, not as the anthropomorphists say, if you want to learn a fancy word, anthropomorphism. They say God is made in the image of man. So Narabapu Taha Sharup, his very form is that of a man. And today, he's lifting Govardhan Hill. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Send some prasad to Richard Dawkins. Poor guy, he wasted his human form of life. You have to distribute these books. At least give people the opportunity to understand that there is a place better than Bangalore. It's called Govardhan. And we're supposed to go there. Where do you want to go when you die? You want to go to heaven? No. You don't want to go to heaven. You want to go to Govardhan, isn't it? To Vrindavan. What are you going to do there? I become a clump of grass. That's what Uddhava said. Uddhava is the topmost devotee in Dwarka. He thought, if I'm very fortunate in my next life, I can become a piece of grass. What would you like to be in your next life? A piece of grass. That's what Uddhava said. So that the residents of Vrindavan, they can put their feet on my head. So there you go. All the way to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. You going to say something? Give the mic. Over here.
Jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada. I have just been reading one of my current reading projects along with the 8th canto is reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita, first portion, first volume one, no, the first half. And there, Sanatana Goswami is making the point that, like at the point I'm at now, Narada Muni has just arrived in Indraprastha, Hastinapur, and with the Pandavas. Hanuman has determined that the Pandavas, they're the most fortunate. There was just recently I read an article about the cult of seniority, right? It's the senior Vaishnav cult. That if someone is a senior by age. Actually, Manu says that amongst Brahmins, the most senior is the one with the most knowledge. Amongst Kshatriyas, the most senior is the one with the most power. Among Vaishyas, the most senior, the one with the most money.
Wealth.
Including cows. And among Shudras, the most senior is the oldest one. But amongst Vaishnavas, the most senior is the one who has got the most mercy of Krishna. That is the most senior. So the whole theme of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, volume one, is Narada Muni is attempting to find out who is the most favored by Krishna. And he's going one step, one level at a time. So when he arrives in Hastinapur, because Hanuman has been glorifying the Pandavas, that they are much, he didn't get any really mercy. The Pandavas got the mercy. So Sanatana Goswami is explaining how, because Krishna was their messenger, he was their brother, he was their servant, he washed the feet of everybody at Maharaja Yudhisthira's Rajasuya sacrifice. He was just, but he makes the point that Krishna when he performs these pastimes, it's not like, though Krishna is called a nata, he's like an actor, but an actor, his actions are, they're duplicitous because it's not his real feeling. He's just pretending that way. He's just pretending to, in any play or any movie, it's all act, it's ketchup, it's not real blood. So, but when Krishna's performing his activities, his leelas, it's done with complete sincerity, complete, no duplicity. He loves the Pandavas. That's why he wants to wash the feet of their guests, because he loves the Pandavas with all his heart. He is their messenger. He is their, he acts as a diplomat for them. He stands guard at night over them. When Arjuna was asking Krishna to forgive him in the Bhagavad Gita after seeing the Vishwarupa, you know that sometimes they're overly friendly. When Abhimanyu was killed, Krishna made up Arjuna's bed. He made his bed for him. It's like your mother might make your bed for you. He made up a bed for Arjuna. He put Arjuna to sleep. You know, he gave him, you know, to pacify them, and then he went and pacified the two mothers of Abhimanyu and Abhimanyu's wife, you know, Draupadi and Subhadra, and then Uttara. He pacified them like that. And so when Krishna is performing these leelas in Govardhan, in Vrindavan, it's not an act. He's not like acting. It's all he's doing it with his whole heart. He loves the Brajabasis. He loves Govardhan Hill. He loves the cow. He loves the cow. You have a capacity to love tiny. Krishna has an unlimited capacity to love. So we have to remember, it's not an act. He's not just doing this. Yeah, he's doing it for fun because he loves doing it. It's out of love. He loves the gopis. He loves his devotees. He loves us more than we can love him. That's why when finally in the volume 2 of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when the Gopakumar arrives in Vrindavan, Krishna is almost apologizing to him, like, what offense did I commit that you haven't come to see me? I've been waiting every day at this path, waiting when you're going to come down this path. What did I do to offend you? He's apologizing. Krishna is so humble. So we have to remember that Krishna is a person. He's the most wonderful person that we can even imagine. It's not an act. It's not just like some impersonal thing, you know, like he. It's like you have friends who you like, who, you know, the way they behave you like. Imagine the most wonderful person imaginable, that's Krishna. That's why he's all attracted. That's why the Brajabasis are so attracted to him. Because of his wonder, he actually really is wonderful. We love Krishna because he's lovable. Not because, well, you have to love God or else you will go to, you know, it's not like, they don't have to be like threatened. And if you don't love God, you'll go to hell or this or that. You know, it's like they're in the Shastras, there are different Shastra conjunctions, you know. Like sometimes some people say, well, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to, why can't we eat onions? Onions, they're a vegetable, right? You're vegetarians, why can't we eat it? Because it's in the Shastra, it says we shouldn't do it. So a devotee will think, oh, Krishna, that's the way Krishna likes it? I'll do it, that's the way I'll do it. Because Krishna likes it that way. I want to please Krishna. I want to love Krishna. I want to be such a person that Krishna will want to be with me. What is it that keeps us in the material world is that we're not fit to be in Krishna's company. If you wanted to be, you know, to go to Delhi and to have dinner with Mr. Modi, well, you have to have some sort of qualification that he would want to have dinner with you. Yeah. Why would he want to have dinner with you? Unless you were somebody important, that somebody, you know, you just couldn't just barge in, you know, and say, yeah, I want to have dinner with you. You have to be invited. because you have certain qualities that they find attractive. So we have to develop the quality that Krishna will want to be with us. He will reveal it. Like, oh, this person is so nice that I want to be with him. And then you can be invited to the party, his party. You know, he's having a party, and you know, it's the, because we became envious of Krishna, that's why we were asked to leave and come to this place. So then, once we reform ourselves, Krishna is the psychiatrist. He is his whole. We have to pray to Krishna to cure us of our insanity, so that we can then be invited back to the spiritual world to associate with Krishna. But that means we have to develop that. We have to be able to fit in. To fit into his society. And then he will respond with us. Because he does it with his whole heart. When you give somebody your heart, you don't want to be in, you don't want that person to be duplicious to you. You want to give your heart to somebody who's not duplicious to you. So we are duplicious. Krishna is not duplicious. I mean, it's getting a little late. Any other?
Yes, now we'll be Gaur Puja, then Abhishek of Giriraj, and then Puja Puja and Kansa. I think he has to leave at 2:30 after this.
2:30, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So after we are on 1 Puja.
Going up, flying to Delhi.
Yes, okay.
Hello, Giriraj, Maharaj, Ki.